Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and you can find me on the Game Brain podcast if you like board games the way I do. And joining me is the wonderful and talented and just all around lovely, a lovely man who would never disrespect Auntie Lopa Auntie. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on?
Well, hello, Ben.
How you doing today?
Good. How's it going with you?
It's going pretty well. In case you didn't hear the big news, our bonus episode this week is going to be all about Mayor of Easttown. Okay, it came out about 6 weeks ago. I binged it about a week and a half ago. You, Ronnie, you've watched it. And, you know, we've had a very busy slate. We've been dedicating our bonus episodes to Bravo shows. But this week... we're going Mayor of Easttown. We're just going to talk about the characters, the things just our thoughts on it. And we're going to have a whole bunch of fun, and we're going to try out this Delco accent. And I don't know how that's going to go, the accent that is, but we'll see. It certainly couldn't be worse than any of our accents we do on Below Deck. So, if you are interested in listening to that bonus episode when it comes out, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and you can sign up there. The bonus episode tier is the basic tier. That's like a dollar per Crappens episode, but you can cap it. You're not going to spend $500. You decide how much you want to spend per month. But we always recommend the Crappens on Demand level at $5 because you not only get the bonus, you get the Discord community, and you also get to watch twice a week. We do our recap on our webcams, and you can watch us and all the crazy. You're there for Bueller. You're there to see Bueller cameos, and I don't really have any cool cameos on my end, Ronnie. I wish I could promote a cameo like that, but I don't.
You have a sweet Taylor Swift poster.
I have a Taylor Swift poster and a snake plant and a board game collection. So
you have your face, okay? You have your beautiful, beautiful little face.
I have Dominique. Dominique will be back from Australia, so maybe he'll pop in as a cameo. But anyway, that was the big pitch for Patreon. But today we are talking Family Karma, which I love. Love this show. Love some auntie drama. How you feeling about it, Ronnie?
Good. Yeah, let's get into some Family Karma. It is Navrati. Yeah, Navrati. Before we start, let me just remind everybody, we're not Indian people, okay? And I do not know how to pronounce anything properly, even though I write it down like the dictionary writes words, you know, like, yeah. This is how you pronounce. I write it down phonetically, actually, like if it was a phonetic dictionary.
Yeah.
And I still, the next day I come to look at the notes like, what the hell am I even talking about?
Yeah, it's, so, you know, but we're learning. And that's the joy of, that's the joy of television is we learn about different cultures that are not our own. Or at least we're learning a very specific perspective on them, because who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Because we already had some people on Facebook who were like, these people are not like my aunties. So, you know, we're just going to learn what these people in Miami are like. So it opens up with the producer asking Brian, like, what is Navrati? And he says it celebrates the female goddesses Durga, Lakshmi, and Saraswati. And that it's like 9 days of dancing and how you do the Garba dance. And that is the, like a dance, or you do Garba, or do you do Garba? Garba is present and it's dance and it's a form of worship.
Well, you know, look, I was kind of disappointed, but also kind of relieved because, you know, I was raised very, very religious, like very Christian, conservative, and obviously left that one. I was like, see ya. And my family still is, but I rebel kind of against that. And then, you know, Judaism, there was just so much to learn. Like my best friend growing up, David Bowman, was Jewish, so I would go to his after-school Jewish class, which, of course, I always forget the name of. Temple? What do you call it?
Short synagogue. No,
Temple was on the weekends. Where you take your class, you know?
Hebrew school.
Yeah, Hebrew school. So I'd go to Hebrew school with him and Amy Greenberg, and I was like, this is too much to learn. Can't be part of this religion. Even though I like that it was only half the book that you had to get through. Love that. But then I get to this, and I'm like, well, this is kind of a fun religion. Like, it's so colorful, and there's so much eating involved. But then we get to this. 9 days of dancing? Are you fucking kidding me with this? Who does this? Do you back off with that, okay? All I ask is that this religion does not come to my door and try and get me to do this, because it's not going to be pretty, okay? All you have to do is dance for 9 days. Get out of here!
Ronnie's spiritual journey has very specific needs. Eat, pray, sit. Yeah. Yeah. So,
embrace it.
I guess you could still love as long as the love does not involve dancing.
Yeah. Love
well,
to.
Well, I'm sorry, Ronnie, that Hinduism is not working out for you.
I was immediately triggered.
We'll have to find something else. Nexium? I don't know.
Oh my God. Tattooing my fupa. My God. You'd need a bigger burner. You know, you need a bigger, what do you call it when you brand? You need a bigger brand.
And that is in no way to imply that Hinduism is a cult, by the way. It was the first thing I thought of because this is where my brain's at today. I'm drinking my Dunkin' coffee here in New York. So,
I'm drinking Dunkin' coffee here in Texas. Oh, this is crazy. We are like sisters.
Are you drinking cold brew black?
I am. Oh, they have that? Is that a thing? Can you get that in the Keurig pods? I'm drinking a Keurig pod.
Oh, no. Mine's actually from the store. I actually got mine freshly poured for me at the local Dunkin' Donuts.
Whatever. Okay, so let's go over to the Benny household.
Wait, it's time to say something here. Okay, it's time to say something. We love this show. We always talk about how nice everyone is. I almost feel like a doting grandmother when I watch the show. Like, oh, they're so adorable. But now it's time, like, the show's been on for a season, and now it's been a few episodes. It's time to take off the gloves a little bit. And we have to address the fact that the Benny household is one of the most sterile households in all of Bravo. It's just, like, I'm actually getting depressed in that house. They need to put something in there. It's just like all white and gray and, like, blank walls. Have you noticed that?
It's called modern architecture, okay? That's on HGTV where they redo a house, and they're like, we're going to give you an open concept. And then you walk in, and it's just, like, a room with the kitchen table. You're like, wait a second. What the hell is this?
Listen, I've seen the open concept white wall thing. This is just, like, big space. It's like a gymnasium, and it's like a black sofa, and then I don't know. I need a little bit of a touch up in there. That's my request. That is my request to the Bravo gods.
So Brian is on the phone with Dr. Monica, his girlfriend, and he's talking about, you know, how he took a rest day from the gym. You know, as young people do. That's their conversation. Yeah. He's like, did some TikToks, took a day off in the gym, okay? And his dad's like, come on, it's time to open some wine. So he's like, yeah. And Monica, the other Monica, is coming with tacos, Taco Bell specifically. Yeah. And she's, you know, super happy for him because Monica and Monica are, of course, friends.
Yeah, and Brian starts, he's like telling us, he's sitting with his parents in this interview session, and he's like, yeah, Monica and I are friends, and so, like, my Monica has nothing to worry about. And his mom just turns to him and goes, don't fuck it up.
And he's calling his dad Mike. Yeah. He's like, hey, Mike, we're going to have some wine together. It's that really important part of becoming an adult, where you're like, I'm having wine with my dad and calling him Mike, but I'm still young enough to shave my hairline back instead of, you know,
brushing it forward.
Wish that it was growing forward. Yeah, exactly.
I'm old enough to throw around words like last quarter of the year, but I'm young enough where I throw them around in a way that sounds like I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, you know, the last quarter. Oh, God. Last quarter. Am I right, Ronnie? Last quarter.
Last quarter. Q4. Q4, guys.
Oh, man. Working so hard.
Hellscape. No,
Q4. Q4. God, what a
absolute hellscape. So now, Ben, have you ever been friends with a kindergarten teacher? Because that is basically what it's like having Monica and her father in your life, okay? That's,
yes.
If anyone out there, I'm sure we have some kindergarten teachers out there as friends. I'm not dissing you personally, but maybe this is a chance to look inside of yourself. Because my friend, one of my best friends who teaches school, talks to me like this. She'll be like, How are we today? Like, she's, because you're in that mode all day and you just can't get out of it. And that is how Monica is. Like, she's coming over, so she ding-dongs, and then she hides. You know, she's like hiding. I'm going to make my entrance fun. And he's like, oh my God, it looks like there's a shadow out there. It's like, it's me. And she jumps out. I'm like, oh my God, this woman's going to give me a recorder lesson. Get the fuck off my doorstep. You too, Monica.
It's so funny. I was thinking about kindergarten today. Because I was just
creep alert.
What'd you say?
Creep alert.
Creep, seriously. No, I was at the local bagel place, and like it was swarmed with high school students, and then I just started thinking about school, and then it took me all the way to kindergarten. So I've been very kindergarten's been top of mind. I was looking through my old yearbooks last night. It was really weird, but I agree with you. She definitely has kindergartner energy. I don't think I'm friends with any teachers anymore. I had a few friends who were teachers, and honestly, I didn't like hanging out with them because all they would do is tell stories about their students, and I literally did not care. Like, I think teachers are one of the great resources that we as a nation, as a world have. But that being said, there are some teachers who think their students are more interesting. And it's like, literally, like, what if I just, like, every time you saw me, I talked about paper clips. And you just, like, what
Well, that's what it is to them when we talk housewives.
No, I know.
I bet that's what they think.
I get that. That's why I try to, like, rein myself in, you know, but I'm just saying, and I'm not saying all teachers are like this, but I'm saying my friends who were teachers were like this, and I kind of had to be like, oh, another story about how, like, a kid spoke up today in class and you had to send them to the principal's office. Okay.
Actually, I love it. She's one of my best friends, and I think that the good way to get around that, just in case you're ever in that situation again, you just kind of shift the conversation a little bit to the parents, because you want to talk some really fun shit to the parents of the kids. What monsters these people are.
Yeah,
okay?
That's a good tip.
Like, the ones that really bug the teachers and, like, go to the principal and try and make trouble about their dumb little angel, you know? Oh, my God. Those are the stories. So, yeah, just shift the conversation and talk shit about the adults, because they're usually, if the teacher has to talk about the adult to their friend over bottles of wine, it's because the parent is an absolute monster.
The only exception to what I was complaining about is that I actually, now that I think about it, I do have a friend who I think he taught at Harvard Westlake, and that's in LA, and that's the one exception where it's cool to hear
you're
about
so
the kids.
Snotty.
That they're just snotty brats, or they're like children of celebrities, or both. And that is like the best. I'm like, tell me everything.
Mm. Well, the point is, Monica talks to you like a child, right? She's like, I'm here, look, it's me! And she jumps out, and she's got her Taco Bell, which the internet pointed out was blurred out, even though they said Taco Bell. So I'm not really sure about the rights.
But it's weird because
Taco Bell loves being shown on Bravo, right? They came to our show one time with the taco truck.
They literally brought their, like, four Taco Bell executives came to our show, and they brought the Taco Bell truck to our show. Well, admittedly, we did a show across the street from the Taco Bell World Headquarters, so there was that too.
But,
but we still, they came and they gave us all this Taco Bell stuff, and they're like, oh my God, and we love that we're mentioned on Vanderpump Rules all the time. I think maybe that's what happened. They were like, wait a second, we made a deal with the devil. We can't do this anymore.
yeah, like that didn't help.
Yeah.
So it only hurts in the end. You've got somebody there screaming at you about how mean Jax is. Monica comes over, and the parents are going to go be on their own. But of course, Dharma is still hanging around to see what they're talking about and stuff. And Brian Brian's so sweet and cute and stuff, but he really is just so douche. Like, there's something about him that I just think he's a douchebag. I think he's going to cheat on you. I don't think he will. There's something about, just because he says like stuff like this. He's like, whoa, low-key, not going to lie, kind of hungry. Like, really? Why do you say it like that?
I feel like you speak
like someone who's going to cheat on me while I'm pregnant. That's what you sound like.
He's like douchebag aspirant, but like he's not. I mean, that's how like they all are, right? Like Vishal and Amrit and
just like guys, like straight guy talk.
They're kind of like doing like faux bro. They're trying to be more bro than they really are, but they're just like sweet guys who just want to help out their mom in the kitchen, you know? And so like, that's just like, they're just trying. I mean, I'm sure one of them will cheat because, you know, law of averages, but they seem like they are not cheaters. I don't know. My issue really is more about the champagne flute that, Brian was drinking out of. I don't know if you noticed it. It really bothered me. It was strange shaped.
What was?
The champagne flute he was drinking out of. Or the wine glass. It was a champagne flute. It was like a flute, but it was also encased in its own. It looked like a cylinder. It was very, very strange.
Well, we're reinventing glass shapes now, because that's like the new thing. Like, you can't have a wine glass. Now you have to have a wine glass with that dip in it.
I can't stand that.
I know. So it looks like it's kind of off the stem. It's like, did we really need to reinvent cups, guys?
I know.
They hold liquids.
I think it's the whole point of those wine glasses is that I think you can raise them higher so you can like sniff the bouquet. But honestly, I mean.
Sure.
Yeah, I think anyone who's buying those glasses probably doesn't care about bouquets.
Okay, this is going to be a 30-hour recap.
Someone who does not care about bouquets.
Yeah, everyone who buys those like drinks Charles Shaw. You know, yeah, they do.
That's what I'm
I've
saying.
Never seen like a really fancy person use those. So, really rich, but not really fancy. This is going to be a 30-hour recap.
It's literally been like two lines of dialogue, and we have now like really dissected literally like a blurred out logo, a champagne flute, sterility of the house, and Monica's
kindergarten
affectation.
Teachers.
So.
So they have the inevitable talk, right? You have to have this talk when you see your friend on this show. So, works good? Everything going good? Oh, yeah.
Q4.
You know, end of year. Oh, end of year. Q4. Oh, Jesus. God. Oh, my God. Q4.
You know how hard Q4 is. Especially in kindergarten. All those kindergartners are like, Q4. You're like, yes, it's Q4 again.
So Monica's asking about Dr. Monica, and she's like, so what's the dynamic, you know, with you guys seeing each other since it's long distance? I mean, do you stay at each other's houses? And he says, yeah, you know, I stay in her guest bedroom. It's very traditional. And she's like, well, I just want you to know, you got a catch. She's a real catch. I love her. And so they're doing this thing like, I'm happy for you. I'm so happy for you right now. And the mom's just looking at them from the countertop like, please just get married. Please stop wasting my time. Know. You know?
No, she like, doesn't like Monica.
Don't make
anymore.
Me get close to this Dr. Monica and then just have to dump her when you guys realize that you're in love.
I think Dharma is much happier with Dr. Monica Delmonico because she's a doctor and she thinks that other Monica is a pretties.
That's true.
She's probably watching to make sure Monica doesn't come crawling back, but she won't because she's been with Rishi for like 2 years and they're approaching, you know, a moment of like maybe the next level. And so, but then Brian goes, so do you ever like question yourself? Like, do you ever question like why, like, you know, that moment with us, like, why didn't we work out? You know? And she goes, not really. Do you? He goes, yeah. No. No, of course not. I mean, it's like, oh man, Q4 is so stressful. Huh, let's talk about that.
He's like, I mean, were we Q1 together for a while? We were. Okay, I will admit it. I mean, you were my Q1. But you know what? I get it. Things change. And he asks this right after she's like, you're buying a ring, right? I know what ring she wants. I have her Pinterest. And he's like, do you ever wonder why things aren't working out? No, she's like literally shopping for rings for you to try and get you off her back. Okay.
Literally. So Brian's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm dangerous. You know, and she's like, yeah, and I like safe, which could also be the name of this show. I like safe. I feel like everyone here is like the most like safe, respectful, obedient people. And so all the cast members. And so Brian's like, yeah, but I'm dangerous. Like in the sack, you probably couldn't handle it. She's like, Like potato sack racing? Is that what we're talking about? Like, what do you mean? It's like, yeah.
Oh, in the sack, it's some bean burritos. I brought them over from well.
Yeah, I would bring bean burritos with jalapenos because I'm dangerous.
I'm not sure how Brian would be in the sack. I feel like he'd kind of have a mirror, but not over the bed, but maybe over the headboard where he could just like kind of be on top, but still take a peek at himself, make sure his eyebrows are like combed. Not really sure. I don't know why I'm being a Brian hater today.
Like, I love Brian. Yeah, we're just, you know, I think us loving someone is means that they therefore now have to go through intense scrutiny. And I think that Brian in bed could be summed up by his next line, which happens after Monica spills a drink on him. He goes, "Motherfucker, these are Zara."
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I think that was where I started to turn today.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go to the Parvani household, that's Vishal's household.
Yeah, so Rajman and Vishal.
Mm-hmm, and so his dad is like chanting, and Kalpna is trying to text with Reshma to talk, and because Reshma, as we all remember, stormed out of Kalpna's party last week. And Reshma's like, you know, I walked away because I didn't want to say something I would regret. Like, I don't agree with you. Oh, could you imagine if I had said that?
Talk about throwing down the gauntlet. That would have been terrible. And Vishal's just like kind of twitching and nervous, you know, sitting in between his parents being interviewed. Like, he is so nervous, this guy. What crime did you commit?
I know.
It's like this guy's got a body in his trunk and he's worried that somebody's going to come ask him for like a spare tire or something. And he's like, oh my God, yeah, you know, like cut the cord. That's what we believe in my family. Just cut the cord. She's like, you know, I don't need the whole community involved. Now, open up for applesauce. Applesauce is coming in, big boy.
No one in the community has to know about the applesauce. So then we see flashbacks we see the flashbacks of Bali being like, someone get this microphone off me. And then it goes to
Auntie Reshma, wait. Auntie Reshma, wait. Look me in the eye. Can't you look me in the eye? Look me in the eye.
I've been doing that to Beeler all week. I thought that was so fun.
Look me in the eye.
So then it goes later that night. Bali is like on the phone. She's like, Mom, Auntie Reshma stormed out. Yeah. And then Bali's mom's like, Reshma left? And she goes, yeah. And then she calls up like Anish. She's like, Anish, at happy hour, Auntie Reshma got up and left the party. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, UPS
Hi,
man.
Hi, Sally. Hi, Tommy. What's the story? Morning glory. Was the white hummingbird? Did you hear about Reshma leaving?
It's very morning like glory, Indian in Bye Bye Bernie.
Look me in the eye, Morning Glory.
It's very Indian Bye Bye Birdie. And it was so funny because everybody she calls, it's like 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, her calling someone else. And she's just sitting in her chair with a giant glass of wine, spreading gossip all over town.
I don't think she knows about the internet yet. There's a whole world of activities on there. She's like, literally has nothing to do.
So funny. So then, and Kalpna is talking to Chitra, and they're talking about everything that was going on. And Kalpna's like, but you weren't even there. She goes, oh, yes, but I heard, because the grapevine was a-buzzing. She's like, well, you know, she walked out, and I texted her. I said, why? Why would you do this? Are you upset over Vishal, or are you upset that I brought Lopa? Like, what is it? I need to know what it is. I'm like, you started it, lady. You set your friend up. This is like some shady-ass housewife behavior, Kalpna. Kalpna.
Yeah.
I mean, you set your friend up for her enemy to be there, and then when that didn't piss her off, you brought up her son acting like a jackass at the party and started everybody on the, who says they're gonna beat somebody? Who says this? You did this, Kalpna, and I love you for it. You're the best addition ever.
Yeah, and then we go to, because this is all like very quick, because it's all gossipy. So then we go to Dharma, and she's at a restaurant with, Lopa. And she's telling Lopa about it. And Lopa's like, well, this is her problem. You have to be a mature person, okay? You have to be a mature person, not like that dipshit probably dying in his bed with his parents right now, Vishal.
So the producer asked Reshma if she's dramatic, and she's like, oh, well, I watched Young and the Restless, so if I don't get my way, I walk up and I leave. Yes, I was a drama queen, but I work on it. This is what I do. You see a problem and you work on it. So she's like the real feeling one who's always talking about working on it.
Also, that's like a huge red flag, because the only other person who says, I'm a work in progress as much as that is Jax Taylor. So like anyone a reality star says, I'm a work in progress, that means they say, you know what? I act badly and I'm just going to hide behind this. So watch out.
Yes, and I'm the shadiest one of the bunch.
Yeah.
So the parents are in there with Amrit, right?
No, it's Reshma's no, with making Vishal. Eggs. With Vishal.
Sorry, I'm thinking of a different scene. So yeah, she's cooking and the dad's praying and he comes in to bless their foreheads and stuff. And she's like, well, Vishal told me Richa gave him back the rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Vishal's like, well, you know what? She's very upset and, like, very, very unhappy, and she's crying, and she thinks I'm going out too much. And the dad's like, well, I agree with her. And he's like, well, she feels like she's constantly sacrificing for me. Like, she makes all the trips here, and I need to go to her, and I've stopped going, you know? I'm like, yes, that is exactly right. If she's doing all those trips, she is doing all the work, Vishal.
Yeah, and for him to just chalk it up to, oh, she thinks I'm going out too much. No, that's not really the that's not really the argument. And so the mom, Reshma's like, well, what's holding you back? And he's like, her mom. And she gives him that look where your mom raises her eyebrows and then like purses her, but closes her lips in that grimace. Like, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it, but you're saying it. Are you listening to what you're saying right now? You're saying it.
Yeah. Not me. I'm just going to say five more times on camera, I have no problem with Lopa Auntie. No problem whatsoever. As you can see, Look at the joy in my face. I'm a work in progress.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that Vishal starts talking about Richa. Richa was very upset. He goes, well, Richa was very upset at me, and her mom saw her crying, so Lopa Auntie started taking it out on me. She didn't even allow me to stay at her house in Memphis, and that's, like, really hard in a long-distance relationship. And you can't even stay together. I'm like, get a hotel room. You're, like, 32, 33. Get a hotel room. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. And then the dad's like, you know what you need? Serenade. A whole Mexican band to follow her around. I love that that's his move. And she's like, yeah, you know, I lived in Mexico. And so we would take serenades to the girls and they would just fall all in love with us. And Reshma's like, he did not do this for me. He goes, oh, yeah, I didn't know her yet.
Yeah. So then we go over to Amrit's apartment and so it's his building and he's like on he looks like he's in a WeWork. I'm like, did Amrit move into a WeWork? Is his studio just an office space at WeWork that he put a bed into? Cause he's like, it's like a clearly this big shared workspace area. And then he's like, yeah, it's amazing. You can order coffee downstairs and they bring it up to you. I'm like, you're at WeWork. Do you know you're at WeWork right now?
It's like one of those kind of upgraded youth hostels that they have in New York now where you sleep on a bunk bed in a room with like 10 other people, but there's nice couches downstairs. And so everybody just hangs out. That's kind of what it's like because his apartment's so little.
Yeah, it's clearly like it's like a new work live space where like your living space is small, but there's like a big, large shared area where you can work and do things or I don't know, something I would probably hate.
Yeah, it's for like enhancing the community. Okay. They have a whole neighborhood here in Austin where they started building these homes really, really close to each other. And there's no front yards and no backyards. But there's big parks kind of in the middle of every block. I know it's like LA. City block? But but here they're not. It's like a revolutionary thing. And it's so everybody comes out and their kids all play in the park together because there's nowhere else to play. And then you have to talk to your neighbors. Yeah. You go to it. And it's like, yeah. So a city.
Yeah. I'm like, it's a city. So a city. Yeah. Got it. Revolutionary. Yeah, no, this is very much like, I totally see the concept of his building. Like that before people start running messages, like, actually, it's this really cool place in Miami. And the whole idea is that it's like, I get it. I see what it is. I still feel like it's a WeWork. I still feel like he lives in a WeWork. So Nicholas loved
what? It's a WePerk. It's a WePerk. Because that's where you go get your coffee. So he's sitting there. Gotta get a dad joke in there. This is family karma, okay?
Yeah, so yeah, he's sitting there in like in one of the public couches, and he's there with Richa, and they're talking about the place, and Nicholas is like, I love this view. And Amrit's like, I feel like I live in a dorm.
So yeah, Nicholas loves it because they have the best view. It's like, my view is you, okay? Yeah. You're sleeping on the side of the bed with a view. My side of the bed, I get to see you, okay? Yeah. You're definitely winning in this situation. So then we see Lavina, his parents. He's doing his diary room with his parents. And she's like, I need a baby. These dogs, they do not give me proper kiss. He licks my face. I need a grandchild.
You need a grandchild that will shit on your lap instead. So, so Richa's like, so you live in a closet, so why aren't you living at home? He goes, I'm sorry, I'm 34. And Richa goes, did Vishal get that memo? I'm like, Richa, you also live at home, so before you shave Vishal.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't you live at home? And he's like, yeah, look, I'm in the same boat as you, all right? It's been like 9 years for us, and we're not engaged. And she's like, yeah, do you see a ring here? And he's asking where their relationship stands, and she's really mad. She's like, you know what? I'm just unhappy. It's like, he says he wants to get married, but then he doesn't talk about weddings. I mean, he's in real estate, but he doesn't even look at houses for us to buy. I mean, what the hell is he doing? You know, what's going on with him? Like, I'm really getting sick. And all I can think the whole time she's talking is that she is completely correct.
Yes.
And it's time to get on the Tinder. Okay.
Yeah.
Complaining does not help. Okay. Complaining.
Same.
I've learned this getting older. Complaining does not burn calories. If it did, I'd look like Lisa Rinna. Okay. Does not work.
Yeah. I was like, you are correct. Dump him. It's over. Like, you're like, why? Like, move on. Like, literally moveon.org. I don't know why she's even with him at this point. It sounds like a completely non-functional, not dysfunctional, a non-functional relationship. So, she's saying, about like, you know, like, she's like, so he's probably telling you that I'm angry because he goes out. And Amrit's like, yeah. She's like, no, I'm not mad about that. I'm mad because, like, where's the wedding? Where's the house and everything? And Amrit says, well, maybe the whole mom thing is taking a toll on him. And she goes, my mom is not just being mean because she feels like it. She's being mean because she enjoys it, okay? Let her have her joy.
She's earned a hobby.
But basically,
yeah, but she can't. She's saying that she cries to her mom, so of course her mom gets upset with him. But that's a problem. And, you know, maybe it's like they're a cultural thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they are so close to their parents on these shows. And, you know, I get that they really take the marrying your family thing very seriously. But, yeah, your mom's, like, totally an asshole to him. Like, you got to have his back at some point, you know? Like, you can't have your mom screaming at each other and fighting all the time because of you. But then, you know, maybe that's just, well, like, cultural. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think Lopa has a right to be pissed at Vishal. I think that Vishal is not being a good, you know, future husband to her daughter. I think that actually Richa should have her boyfriend's back, but she should also be like, you know what, like, we're like, it shouldn't be a situation where Richa is staying at her mom's house and that Vishal is staying at a hotel. Like, they should just stay at a hotel together. She should be like, you know what, let's not stay at my place because my mom is mad at you. Let's go get a hotel together. I feel like that's a very normal, that would be a normal thing to do. But I think if it's a situation where he's coming to town, but he has to stay in a completely different space, it's kind of like, well, that would make him feel isolated. But at the same time, like, are we really going to feel that bad for him if he's treated Richard poorly? He's strung her along for all these years. And then she's like crying every single day, and we're gonna feel bad that his feelings are hurt for like one evening that has happened 3 times over the past several years? I don't think so.
Yeah, but then at the same time, he's just always been himself, which is how he is. And so she wants him to be, I don't know that she wants him to be different. She wants his behavior to be different, which of course you can change. Like, a person can grow up, obviously, and change. But I don't know.
It's confusing. Have to be on her timeline.
And it's like I said, yeah, and I said it last week. This is the couple that gets us fighting. And by us, I mean all of the audience. It's everyone around them fighting about them, but then they're perfectly happy with this dynamic, as we see by the end, when you're like, oh, okay, I can see why they're together. You know, he's like a total child, and she loves to just bitch at him and yell at him. Like,
yeah,
she loves it. Like, it literally brings a smile to her face. Like, that's their moonlighting repartee,
Yeah, that's why she starts to cry at the end of the scene and be like, I have a soft spot for him, actually. It's the point where I'm in tears, you know, I'm like, you guys need to move on. Sorry. Bye.
Yeah, you're a sicko. Yeah, but is it that they need to move on, or is it that, like, you're both sickos and you lovebirds belong together? Because by the end of the episode, I was like, oh, how cute. I'm rooting for them. Even though I think they're a damn mess. You know, I don't know that I want them to have them over to, like, those Married to Medicine style dinners where you talk about your relationship. But
please don't tell Dr. Simone that there's a dysfunctional relationship somewhere. Please. I cannot.
You need to get a job and a wedding venue.
So let's go over to Dylan and Anisha. So they're hanging out together at the condo in Miami, his family's condo, which now this is the interior design that I was like, really, a yellow leather couch?
Yeah.
I mean, Miami. This is bad, come too. On, Miami.
This is bad, too. So they're also sitting simultaneously for their interview with the producers. And Kalpna, who's Dylan's mom, keeps texting him going, Dylan, are you done yet? Dylan, dinner is ready when you want to come home. Dylan, let me know when you're home. Dylan, send a photo of you and Anisha. And then Jitra texts Anisha, how's everything going? And then Kalpna starts texting Anisha, Anisha, come back to our house after dinner. Anisha, is Dylan with you? Anisha? And then the producer's like, oh, God, now she's texting me. Ariel, is Dylan done yet? Ariel? Can you tell Dylan I'm done? I'm texting with him. Ariel, you want to come over to dinner? Take a picture of you and Dylan.
It's just constant text for the mother. And he goes, and three voicemails and missed calls and more voicemails. Oh, my God. And the producer goes, wait, now your mom is texting me. And they start cracking up. So they're going to have a thirst trap night where they take hot pictures to use on their Tinder, I guess. And
oh, you know what? By the way, I'm so sorry. I accused Brian of having the bad champagne flutes. It was not Brian at all. Brian, congratulations. You were out of the champagne flute doghouse. It was Dylan who had the bad champagne flutes. Dylan had them.
I mean, I feel like that makes more sense.
Yeah. Especially given that sofa.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes more sense in this apartment for sure. I was not talking to you, ma'am. I was not talking to you. Turn off and stop fucking moving your light at me. I do not appreciate your circular light coming at
Ronnie,
me like I'm yet? Supposed to be saying something.
Are you done yet, Ronnie? Are you done yet, Ronnie? Take a photo of you and Alexa.
I did not say anything that sounded like your name, ma'am. She's just spinning her blue and green wheel at me. Oh, now she just perked up like she's still I'm not talking to you. Stop it. You're maybe, abusive at this. You're maybe, emotionally abusive, like, to me.
Maybe the her people from her planet are coming to get her. I just watched the end of Cocoon on JetBlue.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good movie.
I've never
seen
it.
Sorry, everybody. I have an emotionally abusive Alexa.
Played by Jessica Tandy. So so anyway, so they're gonna do their thirst trap night, and they're talking about, you know, happy hour and everything, and Dylan's like, there was so much drama. I don't even know it was about you, Dylan. It was about you and your fight. That's what that was about.
Yes. And you know, basically they're talking about how they, you know, like the kind of guys they want for Anisha. And she's like, you know, I'm going on a date with a guy named Anish. And he's like, Anish and Anisha? Wow. He goes, well, he must be nice because you really don't like very many people. And so the producer asked her criteria, and she's like, well, single, that would be good. High achiever, no kids. Did I already say single, high achiever, no kids? Okay. Spiritual. Dad bod, 6 feet, and Indian, which is going to be strong. Rough to find.
Yeah. I like that single was the first thing that she said, because clearly she's been set up with people who... Well, she did talk about that. She was set up with a guy who had a whole family or something. So, yeah.
Well, that's a thing in the modern world. You really got to check on people's shit. I would imagine, especially someplace like Miami. I mean, that's a party city.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Dylan had a good date with someone who has a good beard but is balding, so he has an issue with that. And then he goes, and they're like, should we do our thirst trap photos? He goes, I don't think I'm ready for thirst traps. I've been eating. And then it cuts to just like a little bowl of peanuts. Oh, I had 3 peanuts. I don't think I could do a thirst trap.
And so then they both like show how high they can lift their legs up to look hoey or whatever. And yeah, they're just posing on the yellow leather taking pictures. And he's like, oh my God, no one's going to date us. Like, I wouldn't even date us. So then we go to Top Gun indoor range. And I literally was like, wow, Top Gun. And then I wrote down guns. Like, what did I think it was going to be? It's called Top Gun Indoor Range.
Well, maybe you thought it'd be like a flight simulation or whatever. So it's, of all people, it's Amrit and his dad, Suresh. And Suresh, he comes in with a shotgun. And he's like, well, you know, a couple of friends of mine say, oh, you have a gun? And I say, damn right I do, for safety, for my family. And it turns out he's not even used it. He doesn't even know how to use it. I'm like, this is how people get killed.
And he tells his story of why he gets a gun. He's like, well, when I was a child, my father's brother took everything from us, and my family was on the streets. If you're not tough, you'll be eaten alive out there. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. It's like, this all comes to like avenge your father's brother. I love this show. You think the show's like the most innocent, sweet little show. And then the dad's like, I got a shotgun in case I ever run into that motherfucker again.
It's like, Dad, you're holding it by the barrel. Stop. No, it's not an axe, Dad.
And Amrit's in a t-shirt that says, Queens, y'all.
Yes. And so they shoot like 3 rounds, and it was actually refreshing because normally on these shows when they do like the shooting range thing, it's always like Mike and Shervin on Shaw's just like getting boners and feeling more manly, being like, yeah, that was awesome, Mike, that was really cool. Yeah, Shervin, that was really wonderful. Now I can go kill all those hackers who are breaking into my phone and trying to disrupt me and Paulina. But here it was just like, well, that was fun, I hope I don't have to do that again.
Yeah, it's like, oh yes, I hope we never have to do this. And Amrit's like, well, I mean, that was actually kind of fun, Dad. He goes, not when you're shooting at your uncle. Let's remember that, okay? I mean, Hinduism says if it can be solved peacefully, sure. But if the other guy has a gun in your own house and he is your father's brother, take him out. I was like, damn. Yeah.
And Amrit's like, him or her, Dad. Let's be modest. He's like, the person. So they start talking about like that there's gonna be a proposal for Nicholas soon, and then there's like a scene where then Suresh and Lavina are talking about their marriage and how they were arranged, they didn't date, they just were arranged, and that the children brought them together, and she's like, oh, so you're saying that like if there were no children, like you would not be with me? He's like, probably not, but now I can't live without her. And she's like, oh.
So let's go over to Monica and Dad. Monica and Raj. So the producer asks, so do your dad and Rishi have a lot in common? And she's like, oh my God, we both love making TikToks. We love them. And then we get a clip of her doing a TikTok with really hot guys in a gym.
Yeah.
It's a gym, right? And they're like doing like some, I mean, sexy like for Monica. And yeah, they're doing like a TikTok dance. And the dad's like, oh my God, I'm your biggest fan. I watch all your TikToks. I was like, girl, I'm sure you do. I would watch all those TikToks too. Those are some hot ass boys. I'm going to look that TikTok up.
I know. So they're driving and Monica's like, so the other day I was working on my bed and Simba was snoring so freaking loud. Louder than me, girl. Yes, Dad. Louder than you. Oh my God. Let me give you a little nose job. Do you have a little deviated septum? Oh my God. Maybe we should both go to the same surgeon. Oh my God. Get surgery. Is he going to go to the vet or the plastic surgery or for plastic surgery?
So they're talking about how they're going to do Navarti at the beach this year. And it's usually, you know, it's a big dancing party and it's usually like 500 people and 9 days, but you know, it's COVID. So it's going to be at the beach for like an hour or so. Yeah. And they're going to do it potluck because that's how you should do every party. I don't know why every party isn't potluck because I ain't cooking everything every fucking time. Okay.
Well, do you want Lisa Rinna to bring a dish for a potluck?
Listen, you know what? Fingernails don't sound very good, but they do pass the time.
It'll be 3 of Harry Hamlin's potatoes. So,
Yeah,
so they're going to do this whole thing. And then we go over to Reshma, who's at her office, and Kalpna FaceTimes her, and they're both... Kalpna's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've just been... You know, I'm just keeping myself busy. And Reshma goes, yeah, I've been keeping myself busy, too. With work, which was, I felt like, a little dig.
Shade. But I appreciated it. Yes, that was shade. She's like, yes, I've been very busy, too, at a job.
It's like, well, I wanted to talk about happy hour because you left abruptly. And then I texted you and you didn't respond to that either. And she's like, well, I was uncomfortable that parents were so involved. But I said we didn't have to discuss it. What did I say to you? I said we don't have to discuss it if you don't want to. It's like, okay, but you brought it up in front of like 10 people. So yeah, she did kind of have to discuss it.
Yes. And yeah, Rashma is like, well, I don't want to be in an environment where everyone's talking about the children or the mothers that say that they are so dear to me. I don't respect it. You'd be dear to each other and every child. Like, if you'd be dear to each and every child if you're dear to me. So Vishal would also be your child, just how Dylan is also my child. That is what I believe.
So they end up making up because she's like, you know, our kids are adults. And she's like, yes, but we always think of them as kids. And she goes, yeah, but they need to figure it out on their own. And she goes, okay, well, I just wanted to make sure the issue isn't Lopa because I knew I threw you off guard with that. And she goes, no, Lopa, no, Lopa, no, no, I have no problem with Lopa. I accept everyone. But she, yeah, she says she it goes, in that spiritual way that, you know, is like not, she hates Lopa.
But she also, she doesn't just say, I accept everyone. She goes, I accept everyone the way they are, which is not the same as saying you accept everyone. Listen, not in front of the children. So
even serial killers enjoy cereal. So you have to look at the positives.
Rashma's like, you know, I have to keep myself sane and happy. And Kapla's like, well, you know, we're both Aquariuses. And she goes, yes, and that's why we've lasted so long, right? Because we're both Aquariuses. You're a little more dumb than I am, and you do not work, and I work, and you still think that your children are children. So, you know, that's why we work, you know, because I'm sort of I understand life, and you just are like, have a yellow couch, you know?
Yeah, the producer's like, so are you going to end your relationship with her? Tell us the truth. And she's like, no, the bond is very strong with us. And he's like, but you just ignored her for like 5 days. She goes, well, I have a habit of taking longer, but I work on it. And that's the important thing. I work on me. Communication is the key.
Well, will communication help Vishal and Richa? And she goes, we shall see. Not going to communicate any further emotions from the inside of my brain right now.
Yeah. So Vishal. Okay, so now's the big Vishal moment. He's like sitting at a table, cracking his knuckles, looking back and forth, like looking at the door, looking back. Like he's terrified. Like the FBI is going to come in at any moment. Like sweat is squirting out of his face. It's like that SNL thing where like sweat is just dripping down Chris Farley's face. It's like a water.
I'm like, what water dinosaur embryos did he steal? Like, what is going on here? So then Richa comes in. It's hard because there's Rashma and Richa. And so there's Rashma, Richa, and Rishi. And Rishi. No, it's Rishi. I listened to it more than this. It's not Rishi. It's Rishi. So it's Rishi. Just, it's just there's a lot of like, a lot. itch for me. So Vishal. And then I have that issue where I have my friend Vishal, and I can't say anyone's names right. I've got my friend Vishal, but on this show there's Vishal. So anyway, Richa comes in and Vishal's like, yeah, when Richa gets mad, she turns into a little brown monster, like a little brown Hulk. Like she's a little brown monster. I'm like, I'm sure she loves that you called her that on TV. That's a great step forward.
Romantic. And she comes in and she looks slamming. I mean, damn. I was like, damn, girl. And she's like, why are you standing up? You can sit down. We're not hugging. Okay, so sit down.
He's like,
okay, no hug. Well, you do look pretty. So thanks for coming. Crack, crack. Crack, crack, knuckle, crack, knuckle, crack.
Yeah, he does like the little, the penguin flap, you know, like where your hands are just sort of like straight down and they sort of like flutter out a little bit and then come right back to your thighs, like a little. And then, he's like, well, you're looking pretty and I do miss you a lot and I know I should have done a lot more and I should have planned a lot more dates. And she's like, whoa, I guess we're getting right into it right away. Okay. Like, Richa, like, he tried to hug you and start off on like, you know, a sweet, small talk space. Like, don't be surprised if he's like, oh, okay, well, she doesn't want to talk, so I guess I should get into this. So I'm like, Richa, like, relax. Relax, Richa. You're totally in the right, but relax.
So, no, she's like, I'm going to stay strong. He's not going to charm me, and I'm going to yell at him until he does what I want. So she's like, this is about more than you just planning dates. I mean, you get that, right? And he's like, yeah, I do. I mean, you said I don't make you a priority, but then you ignore me, and then that's like 3 weeks at a time, and it hurts my feelings. And then, like, you get mad that I go out on the weekends. And she's like, it has nothing to do with you going out, okay? I'm not happy. I'm at the cracking point. And the waiter comes over, and he's like, oh, okay, she's at a cracking point. Let me just order real quick. I'll have a spinach empanada, a ham empanada, fries, a quesadilla, a salad, steak. Do you want anything? Is there anything I can get for you?
She's like, this is why we won't work. So she says, so you think that's like okay for me to be upset every single day? And he goes, no, I don't want to see you crying ever. That's why I don't visit you, you know, because I don't literally want to see you crying. So then he's like, you know, I try hard. She's like, you flew to Memphis 3 times. Want me to count how many times I've flown in the past 3 years? You want me to count how many times I've flown this year? You want that? I'm like, oh, Vishal, you're dating a lawyer. This is not going to work out well for you. She's got all her facts lined up.
He's like, but I can't even stay at your house. Your mom's so mean to me. It's like, oh my God, do not blame my mother. Have you called my mother? Have you tried that? And he's like, she doesn't want to talk to me. And then she buys a condo here, and you don't even tell me she's buying a condo.
Oh, gosh.
And then it becomes like the whole, we have to respect our parents. I mean, you wouldn't tell me something your mom didn't want me to tell you.
See, she shouldn't have said that, because I actually think that, like, he's being a little ridiculous, but when she says that, that's not a great point, because if they are in a relationship, like, the whole condo thing is silly, but I think if you are in a 9-year your relationship, you know, I do think that with something like that, you should probably tell your, it's not that you have to tell your boyfriend about a condo, but if your mom says, don't tell your boyfriend about the condo, I think it's like, I think the boyfriend could overrule the mom.
Yeah, that's where she loses me too. She loses me too with the mom thing. Like, you can't, if you're going to be married, you choose your spouse over your parents. I mean, that's your partner.
Yeah.
So she kind of loses me with the parent.
This is not a dark family secret where the mom is like, don't tell us all. This is like, I bought a condo. And the other thing is that, you know, hearing that Vishal has really only visited 3 times in like the past several years, and then he's complaining so much about how Lopa is so mean to him whenever he visits, they can't stay together. But I'm like, if you've only gone 3 times, that's such a small sample size that, like, you're basing all these reactions off of such individual events. Like, it's not like you go once a month and this is an ongoing issue every time you go. Like, if you go many times, it probably would smooth out, right?
Yeah, right. Have you seen Lopa? There is no smoothing that out, okay, sir?
Well, maybe he'd get
but
used
your point
to
is
it.
Taken. Like, he, yeah, she, the their he's their arguments to be have like, merit.
He's too quick to be like, "Oh, she's mean to me." You know, it's like that's going to be your wife. So you deal with her if she's going to be mean to you. You just deal with it. You don't
right. She's
away.
Mad at you. She's mad at you because you're a wuss. So, you know, you're solution would be to be less of a wuss, basically. Yes. That's how I look at it.
It's kind of like a test, to be honest.
Right. So then this is why I've kind of softened on Vishal today, because I know I've been kind of mean to him. But
the appetizers.
This food is delivered. And I mean, when anybody orders 10 dishes for themselves, I mean, I'm down. I'm into it. I think it's hot. There, I said it. Because like 20 dishes are placed on the table. And she just looks and she goes, okay, yeah, wow. Eat cheese. Go ahead. Eat cheese. That's great.
Yeah. So, he's basically like, you know, we're supposed to be a team, and he wants to be considered Lopa's son, and he wants Richard to fight for him, for their team, and to fight for Lopa to have respect or whatever. And there's a part of me that also feels like I would not be surprised if Richard already did all that. But now it's been 9 years, and like, Vishal is still being Vishal, you know? I would not be surprised if there's an element of that in this as well.
Well, then he does empanada cheers, and she's like, ha, ha, ha. Oh, I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing.
Yeah.
You're laughing. And, you know, that's why I kind of still root for this relationship, because I'm like, oh, these two and their crazy chemistry, their crazy empanada jokes.
I don't know. I'm actually not rooting for them, I have to say. I'm actually not, because I just think that I'm not going to say that she could do better, but I think she could find someone more compatible. She talks about how he's saying, you know, about the houses. Like, she's like, you know, you're just like sitting around doing nothing. And we're supposed to look for houses. We're sitting around doing nothing. He's like, well, we both had all that time. And she's like, I sent you houses. He's just like a little too, he's just very passive and like quick to pass the buck. I just don't think this is a good relationship. Except for the
fact
that
she likes him.
I know that. Except for the fact that she yells at him like his mom yells at him. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's part of the attraction. So let's go over to Chitra's house. So Chitra and Anisha are hanging out, and Anisha's like, Mom, like, I used to not believe you when you were like talking about Evil Eye, but then I fell.
It's like, see, was a woman in a relationship fall? I do not think so. So,
you know, it's very interesting. I went to Turkey and I saw a tree. And every branch on this tree is tied with evil eyes. She goes, Mom, that was on the Travel Channel. Okay. I did not see that in real life.
I think she said, this is Mom. I think she said, this is Chitra's Travel Channel. I think that's what she said. So, so they're just, you know, Anisha's about to go on a Zoom date.
So she's going to go on a Zoom date, right? So she's like, okay, what am I going to do on the Zoom date, Mom? She goes, you just talk. I mean, you can't do much else. It's a Zoom date. She's like, yeah, but I mean, I got set up. And then the aunties are like FBI agents, you know? And then we found out one of the guys was engaged, okay? One of them was bisexual. One was like really way too young. But this one is okay, I think. His name is Anish. And she's like, oh, Anisha and Anish. Oh. Yeah.
So they start their Zoom day, and it actually seems to go like really well. They seem to have like really good banter chemistry and everything. And then meanwhile, Chitra is outside just texting the cop and being, red alert, red alert. Anisha's on a Zoom date. I'm trying to hear red alert, red alert. And the cop goes, OMG, husband material. I'm like, it's literally a first date on Zoom.
I know, but they are such products of their parents, right? Because this is their date. Do you want kids? How many? He's like, three or four. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I want one. And he's like, well, if one is what we've got to do, then one's fine. And she's like, oh, thanks, Anish. Yeah. Okay, so like, this is like, your first date conversation, you know? How many kids are we having? He's already compromising on the number of kids.
So it was like a really good first date. They have a really good chemistry. And he's like, let's do this again. And she's like, yeah, totally. And you're like, oh my God, Anisha finally connected with someone. And she comes outside and Chitra says, how was it? And she goes, he says he wants four kids. Ugh, can you imagine? It's disgusting.
She's like, I'm not Octo Mom. Oh yeah. Who was that lady who had all of those kids? Octo Mom. She was famous. Octo Mom.
What was her name? Octo Mom.
I wonder if she was trying to think of the other one. Nadia.
That's the same woman.
That's Octo Mom?
Nadia Suleiman?
Oh, for Christ's sake.
That's Octo Mom's real name.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I'm just like an old auntie too. Okay, I just don't have kids.
So meanwhile, Suresh is talking about Navrati and everything, and I don't know. Amrit talks about Hanukkah. So then we go over to Raj and Monica setting up for the big festival or the big event, and he's like, "Ew, a bird just pooped on this table." And and Monica's like, most times it's 500 people dancing, and this year it's gonna be like 10 dancing, and so people start to arrive, and it's like we see Vishal.
The producers are like, who's not invited? Who's not invited to this party? And she's like, well, the Patels are busy because they do their own thing at the compound. And then we see a clip of them, and they're all in like matching yellow, you know, like twirling batons and dancing around their living room, which is really cute. And then she goes, and Bali has a new cocktail maker, so she can't make it. And then we get to Bali holding this humongous glass of wine. And she's like, I mean, Indian outfits on the sand? No. Not for me.
And she's like, And I'm trying to think if there's anyone else I didn't invite. Octomom!
It's like, there's only so many times I can extend the olive branch to her. And then Anisha tells us, she's like, no, do I mind that I wasn't invited? Of course not. Of course not. I mean, it is hurricane season on a beach. So have fun with that.
So the aunties all start arriving. Lopa. Lopa arrives, and she's wearing a sheer top, which is surprising. And it's just all, everyone's like arriving, and Vishal is all nervous. He's like, I haven't talked to your mom in 4 months. And Richie goes, so go talk to her. What should I say?
But what do I say? What do I say? So she comes up. So she comes up and basically hugs them both. You know, she's like, hello. Hello. And Risha's like, oh my God, you guys are matching. Look at you. You guys are wearing the same color and everything. And so
Monica feeds the cameraman. And then
everyone dances.
Like dancing. It was really cool. Everyone's doing like a dance around the fire. And then Vishal and Richa sit down at the fire, and she's like, did you bring chairs? She goes, oops. So then he goes and he brings the hay over, and then he actually invites Lopa to join. Lopa's like, ugh, okay. So she sits down, and he's making a s'more, and he goes, you want a s'more, Lopa auntie? And she goes, no, I don't like those. I was like, wow, she is evil. She doesn't like really s'mores. Is. I was like, wow.
He's like, did you enjoy the dance? Are you enjoying the dance? She goes, it's okay. So Risha leaves them alone. And she's like, be careful. So Risha tells us, she's like, this is just a constant battle that I'm in the middle of. So they can just duke it out. I'm staying the hell out of this.
And then Tamara Barney makes an appearance, which I was surprised about because I didn't think we'd see her on Bravo. It was a raccoon. So a raccoon shows up, and then Monica tries to feed it, and they're like, Monica, no. She's like, guys, it's okay. They're like, Monica, it could have rabies. She's like, guys, it's okay. I'm like, no, Monica, you idiot. Rabies doesn't care if you approach it nicely. Get away from that goddamn raccoon.
I'm with Monica. Feed it. Feed it. You give it to it.
Well, throw food to it. But like, listen, those raccoons are – I feel like any raccoon I see is rabid. That's how I live my life.
So Vishal's like, so how is everything, Lopa? How is everything, Auntie Lopa? We haven't spoken. And it's because my ego got in the way. She goes, why? Because you told Risha not to tell me about your condo. She goes, wait a minute. Wait right there. What business is this of yours? My investment. Don't even. You better back it up. Step off the curb. Step it back, buddy.
And he goes, he's like, I want to be your son. I don't want to hold any resentment. Well, don't tell me what investment I do and what investment I do and where I spend it. I don't need your permission. Well, it's not my permission.
Excusez-moi.
That is wrong.
You have no right to ask me where I spend my money. It's like, wow. He goes, look, I just want a relationship. I mean, you wouldn't even let me come to Memphis to your house. So you were fighting.
Melted chocolate into my house. You want me to have you want me to clean up all your stupid quote unquote s'mores? Excusez-moi. No, thank you, Mr. S'mores.
You told me at the engagement, you will do anything for her, but then you cannot be a mama's boy constantly with your thumb in your mouth. Be a man. Be a grown man who doesn't ask me about my finances. He's like, okay. Well,
to be fair, I have my thumb in my mouth because I got some s'mores on it and I just wanted to lick it off. See? And that's why, excusez-moi, I will not have one. I will not put my thumb in my mouth.
Like, but I did order 11 appetizers at the restaurant. I mean, that's kind of baller. That's kind of baller, right? She goes, oh, you know what? I'm glad. I'm letting it go now. I'm happy you're happy. That's it. And he's like, but I want to get married and I just want to be happy. She goes, then think about that.
Yeah. He's like, I just want to be happy. She's like, well, that's exactly right. That's like, you two need to be happy, okay? You two sort out your shit and don't get me involved in it. Leave me out of everything. Now, excusez-moi, I'm getting off this stupid hay bale. You call this a chair? Get out of here.
He goes, listen, I just want to be happy. And we haven't been happy. And then he starts getting cry face. And she's like, oh, God. She's like, you guys leave me out of your shit. So she gets up and leaves. She's like telling him, be a man. Get your thumb out of your mouth. And he's like, but we haven't been happy. She's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Get me out of here.
Yeah. Exactly. Although let's not overlook the fact that she clearly has some sort of issue about money, because Vishal was not even saying anything about like that he was going to weigh in on her, how she was going to spend her money. He just wanted to know that it was there. And she's like, don't tell me how to spend my money. I'm Lopa.
I think she's just always ready to tell somebody off. Like, that's her hobby. Like, you could be like, ma'am, your order is ready. She'd be like, oh, don't talk to me when I'm texting somebody on my phone. You better watch your mouth, mister.
Yeah, okay? I think that she pretty much was, like, in a horrific relationship beforehand with a guy who told her, you know, like, who ordered her around, and she wasn't able to make any decisions herself. And I think she's probably just, like, extra sensitive to the idea of, like, anyone telling her what to do now, you know? So she just, like, offloads that right onto Vishal, who is just, like, barely refraining from peeing his pants at that moment.
Yeah, so for some reason, this has been a romantic scene, because I guess he sat there and took it from Lopa long enough that Risha's like, oh, look at him making an effort. You know, yeah. He didn't run into the ocean and, you know, try and tie a brick to his ankle. So, you know, that's called an effort in this relationship. So they're being kind of romantic, and everybody's been watching them. So they come over and cheer for them because they're being romantic. And Monica's like, kiss, kiss, kiss. And then Risha goes, oh, my mustache is sweaty.
No, it just ends. That was so family
great
karma.
Episode.
Yeah,
fun. And you know, they started fighting this week. Bali put something, I think, on her Instagram or something that was like, oh my God, like, when am I gonna go to her ratchet party on a beach, or am I gonna like enjoy my cocktail machine? And then Monica was like, how dare she call our spiritual celebration of our goddesses ratchet? How dare she?
Yeah, it was. And I think everyone was like, oh my God, congratulations, you're starting to fight, you've done it, you figured it out. And everyone was just like, come on, say more, it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. The community was like, you did it, you guys are doing it, you're officially Bravo stars.
Yeah. So that is it for that. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with some Shaws of Sunset. And be sure to follow us on social media. Our account is Watch What Crappens on Instagram. And also follow our personal accounts at Ronnie Caraman, at Ben Mandelker. We'll catch you on the next episode, everyone. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels, Dana C., Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My Favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No One Makes Us Feel Well Like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's Get Racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.